Hey, welcome to this week's episode of Nevada Backcountry on this Sunday. Thank you to Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Battleborn Tree Service, and Truck Envy for sponsoring the show. Over the years, Dave and I have talked about our wives on the show. We've talked about hunting with our wives on the show. David Catalano is out doing a bat project right now. So I found a bat of my own to drag. I conned or convinced my wife to do the show with me. So this is going to be one for the record books, folks. Sincere thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening to this. As I've talked about on the show before, my wife, Cynthia, is the proud recipient of a California bighorn sheep tag in the state of Nevada this season. And to overcome her fears about coming on the show, we are recording this after hours. I told her she could have a canned margarita to loosen up and seem more pleasant for my listening audience. So, Cynthia Evans, welcome to Nevada Backcountry. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, Mom, about the margarita.
Oh, yeah, your mom might listen to this show.
She's for sure going to listen.
Well, I was joking, Susan. It is a virgin margarita, if there is such a thing. So, Cynthia, gosh, mother of four, beekeeper, homeschool co-op runner. No, you're shaking your head. No.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. You homeschool our four kids. You have been around hunting growing up to one degree or another, correct?
Yes.
What was your experience growing up hunting? It wasn't a thing in your family.
No one in my family really hunts, but I grew up in South Georgia where everybody else hunts. And so I've definitely spent some time in a deer stand doing that type of hunting. Very different from the type of hunting out here.
Can I tell the story on air?
I don't know what story this is.
Well, most of your hunting experience was through a boyfriend.
No, it was actually through my sister's boyfriend.
Your sister's boyfriend. Yeah. Oh, okay. So you actually were. See, here I was going to make a joke about not really looking for deer in a deer stand if you're up there with your boyfriend.
No, we were looking. Yeah, we were looking for deer.
Okay. All right. Positive, negative. Obviously, it wasn't something that lit your fire. You didn't want to do more of it.
Positives is I would say his name was Jason, and he was like really into just animals. So okay. It was never like, oh, we're going to get out here and we're going to kill something. It was like, hey, let's go watch some animals do stuff in the woods.
And was this public land stuff or no such
private,
thing in Georgia?
Yeah, no, okay. Private land. And then one time one of his friends did kill a deer. And
did you
I
see
got
it?
I didn't see it happen. I didn't see the deer be shot, but I was able to see the whole like process of cleaning it and everything. I do remember being like, oh, wow, like there's a lot that goes into this. And this guy knows what he's doing.
Right.
Like,
okay.
You know, and so I was never, you know, wasn't hunting on my own, but I was around it and I knew what it was and knew what it went into hunting. But,
and if I'm not mistaken, your dad's brother hunted a good bit.
Yep, he's a big time deer hunter too.
Okay, but all Southeastern stuff, deer
yes.
stand, okay. Was it a cultural thing, being a female, where it was like not something that women did by themselves? It just didn't, you didn't take that ball and run with it like, hey, I want to do this some more.
No, I just went to college and did my thing there. So yeah, I would have never even known how to go about doing it.
Okay.
Myself.
Then fast forward, I did not have as good of a mustache at the time, but we don't have to go into our entire dating experience or anything.
No,
but I think pretty early, you knew I was into hunting.
Yeah. I think you went
from the
on
get.
Was it a bison hunt while when we first started dating with your dad?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I knew you were into hunting. I knew you were into the outdoors. We did a lot of like hiking and camping for sure when we were dating and fishing.
Yeah, did a good bit of fishing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I didn't think one way or the other about it.
Okay.
I'd always dated hunters.
Yeah, it was pretty common.
I figured I'd marry a redneck.
You just didn't know he'd have such a nice mustache.
Well, I mean, you know.
Okay. Okay, so it was pretty early on in our relationship. It was evident that I was into this thing and it was something I was passionate about. Early in our marriage, I think like most couples, there were some, we'll call them trials and tribulations around hunting. Is that fair to say? You're giving me that look like maybe we shouldn't cross this bridge.
Well, we have 4 children and someone was hunting.
We only had 1 child at a
time.
Some
of the times we were you were hunting.
There was a, I do remember an elk hunt in Montana that I thought, boy, oh boy, if my stuff's not on the lawn when I get back, I need to go buy a lottery ticket.
Do I get to share the details of this hunt?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you quit your job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working and mm-hmm. we had a toddler and you went on a 2-week elk hunt.
Well, yeah. All right. Yeah, that is valid, actually. Yeah. So, hey, for those of you listening right now and going, oh, man, this is going to get really uncomfortable really fast. We're not going to apply the depths of
still married.
We are still married 15 years this year. For those of you that listen to the show, when I talk about being passionate about hunting, look, not to one-up some of you, but if you haven't quit your job to go chase elk in Montana, you cannot call yourself a true hunter with an infant at home.
Just make sure your wife has a job.
So maybe not the best introduction on my end to hunting in the West. Got married, moved you out here, stole you away from God's country, as they say, and got out here, and hunting was predominantly something I did with my male friend group. Or with my male family members. And
absolutely.
I don't think that you got the invite.
No.
Too
I was,
often.
Nope.
That was an oversight on my part. When was it that you drew a deer tag in Nevada? You've had a couple deer tags in Nevada. What was the first one? Do you remember?
First one was an archery tag, and it would have been 2012.
Okay.
Because our first child was born the next year. And it was an archery.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was an archery tag.
Okay.
And I was not successful. And I think we really only hunted a few days of the season. And then we went on our belated honeymoon.
That's right.
We didn't have time or money to do an actual honeymoon when we got married.
And that was a horrible experience, that first hunt. We had a run-in with someone out there.
Yeah, we had a run-in with an anti-hunter who like yelled at me.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, I think, gosh, I would have been 26 and I just kind of went, you know, Henry, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, if I'm going to get yelled at by people, let's go on our trip. I'm done with this tag. And it was kind of a sour experience for me.
Right. I do remember that. That and then motherhood. Having more kids. Yeah.
And then we started having babies and I was busy with that. And so it wasn't even in my mind of like, gosh, man, I wish I was still hunting. I just wasn't even thinking about it. We just got busy.
Yeah. And then you had a second tag, a rifle tag. Or was that the first one, your doe rifle tag?
No, that was the second one because our daughter was 1.
Oh.
And she went on the hunt with us.
That's right.
And we were backpacking and she was on your back in like a baby carrier and she would not shut up.
No.
So Madeline, sorry, but you ruined that tag for me.
She talked a lot.
She talked the whole time. And every time we saw deer, what did she call them? Doggies.
Doggies.
She said, doggies, doggies, doggies.
Yep.
And you finally turned to me and were like, we're never going to get anything
get this done,
with her.
Yeah.
So I put her on my back and I hiked out.
Wait. Back up. It was her jabbering, and then what started happening?
It started snowing.
Yeah.
And it was it's too cold. Too much. And so I hiked with her back to the truck, and we played in the vehicle for hours during a snowstorm. And then out of the blue, the white, this man comes walking down the road with a deer on his back.
Yeah. I filled my tag, and I think that's the closest I've ever come to just outright, outright poaching, because I knew we had another tag back at camp. And I whacked mine, and then I sat there and watched that herd of deer, and I thought, boy, I could dump another, right? They weren't spooked or anything. I thought, man, I could dump another right now.
I had nothing to do with that.
No, and these are the thoughts that went through my mind, and I thought, man, I'll dump another one. We'll put Cynthia's tag on it, but to my credit, because I've always prided myself, and in fact, I wrote our daughter a letter about this. I've always prided myself on, like, you know, even when the only judge and jury is the wilderness surrounding you, I feel like I've always made the right decision when I'm hunting. Take me out of the woods, I make horrible decisions. Put me on the mountain, I tend to make fairly good, level-headed decisions. So I did not dump a second deer.
No, you wouldn't have been able to get out of there.
No, that was a lot. Yeah, getting that thing out of there in the snowstorm. But that was your introduction to hunting in Nevada. We're going to go to a quick break. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3. Hey, welcome back to Nevada Backcountry on this Sunday. Thank you to our show sponsors, and thank you to those of you who take time out of your Sunday to listen. If you are just joining us, this is a long-awaited episode of the show. I have my wife on the show. There were no fisticuffs over the break. We've kept everything cordial so far, so that's good. You did throw me under the bus about quitting my job to go chase elk, but, well, I'll forgive you for that.
Facts are facts.
Facts are facts. At the end of that first segment there, we had just come to your second tag in Nevada was a rifle deer tag. You did not fill your tag. That was kind of our back in the days where we had that weekend to hunt and nothing else. And it was like, oh, okay, well, we got one of two down. You were on mom duties in the middle of a snowstorm. Our daughter was on my back at the time, jabbering about doggies, she called them. She was a loud kid. But that was your second experience. And I get, like, the first experience for sure would not be something that would sell you on the on hunting as a lifestyle thing. Second experience, I take you out with a kid and we get caught in a snowstorm and it's kind of miserable. So I'm really batting 1,000 on selling you of this whole concept of hunting at this point. For listeners, male listeners out there, if you're thinking about getting married and maybe you're thinking about marrying a gal who isn't into hunting, take notes on this episode and do everything the exact opposite of how I have done them.
And you're in sale.
Yeah. You weren't
back then.
As soon as that clock strikes 5, my salesman cap comes off. Since then, you weren't interested in hunting beyond that.
Well, we've been on chucker hunts, and we did that really cool cast and blast
up
in Idaho. Yeah. And that was awesome.
See, I tend to focus on big game, but you're right. Yeah. So you enjoyed that.
Yeah, and I did not shoot a single chucker, but I had a blast.
That's chucker hunting, yeah.
And cast.
And cast, yeah.
I did catch fish.
You caught a hell of a nice smallmouth on that trip.
Smallmouth bass, my first smallmouth bass ever. And so, yeah, like, I think the no pressure of bird hunting was appealing to me just because we had so much going on and babies and putting in. And I know you would ask me, like, hey, do you want me to put in for tags this year? I'd be like, how am I going to go?
Yeah.
I have an infant. You know, I'm nursing.
You were never anti,
Yeah, I was never anti, but it was just like the logistics of, and if you have a support system where you can hunt and with babies, like, oh my gosh, go.
Oh, 100%.
But yeah, we just didn't have that. And it was just like, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine going to the grocery store by myself. How am I going to be out in the woods for 2 weeks, you know? And what is my baby going to be doing? Who are they going to be with? They can't come with me. So I think just the logistics were really overwhelming for me for years and years.
Without throwing anybody under the bus by name, you married into a family where people still, I'm being really vague about this. So where people in the family still want to get after it and still, like, they still kind of feel like they have that mountain to climb. They want to do this, that, the other thing. I think I've learned those lessons to where I hope at a certain point here soon, maybe I've become fully like, I'm support staff. I'm not the leading actor anymore. I'm good. Here we sit in a season where my oldest daughter has a pronghorn tag.
Our oldest daughter.
Well, jury's still out. I haven't gotten a maternity test on that. Where our oldest daughter has a pronghorn tag. You have a sheep tag. Now, yeah, I'm going on a moose hunt in Canada for sure. However, as I get older, I kind of look at maybe some of the stuff that we didn't feel supported on early in our relationship. And I go, okay, I can do that. I can change that. And I have no problem. If I got to fry bacon and cook pancakes and sit there and glass from camp with my grandkids, perfect. That's what I want to do. I don't really feel like I've got too many more things that I want to knock off. In those early days, yeah. You married into a family. They still had some things they wanted to work out in the mountains. So,
yeah. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with just bird hunting.
God, no. And this last season, I think you really got into it. And I'm talking more about like big game hunting stuff for sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
That wasn't really feasible with young kids and no one to watch them. Yeah.
It's just a big commitment.
Oh, 100% it is. Yeah. And you're talking about being out 6-7 hours from... Anyway, I'm rambling now at this point. The fire wasn't necessarily gone. You still thought like, oh, this is fun, but fun in a non-committing way. Like, oh, we can go out and chase birds on a Saturday or something. Or like that trip to Hell's Canyon, do a little fishing. And that's something you were into.
Absolutely. And I mean, I cook all the meat. So I appreciate hunting for sure.
You know, that's valuable too. Yeah. So you saw all the dead animals coming through the house.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, we didn't have two nickels, not pennies for sure. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. So we've always processed everything on our own. So, I mean,
yeah,
I may not have killed any big game, but I have processed.
You've had your hands on that meat.
Yeah. I'm not going to go there because my mom is listening.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I definitely see the rewards of hunting and what it does for your family. And like our kids have grown up eating elk and moose and mule deer.
Yeah.
And,
birds,
you know, antelope and
fish,
and birds. Yeah. And, you know, like that's just normal to them. If I say, oh, this is ground beef, they're like, what? Why?
Yeah.
Where did you get this?
Yeah. And Where'd you kill this?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And they don't think it, you know, they don't think it tastes bad or anything. They're just kind of like, why did you buy this?
Yeah, it's different.
Oh, well, we're out of it. We're out, you know, like we're towards hunting season and we ran out of ground, whatever. And so it's time to restock the freezer and they get involved too now.
Dad was a loser. Didn't fill his tag. You know, I felt so guilty. We could segue into that real quick. I felt so guilty, or not segue, I'll sidebar. I felt so guilty that year. I had that really good buck and I kind of held out for a big buck. I wanted a big buck out of that unit. And I kind of cherry picked. I hunted this one buck. And it was almost like a sense of guilt. It's one of those things where it's like, there are going to be hunts that are unsuccessful due to whatever reason. And you just, hey, we got to eat tag. Like I tag soup this year. I didn't get it done. But that year where I was so selective about the buck I wanted, I actually felt guilty at the end of it when it was like, oh, the season's over. I did not kill this deer. Dang, that sucks. And then I thought about like what a selfish pursuit I had gone on where I had this whole thing where it was like, I got to do it above, want to do it this way. And I want, oh, and then I found this buck and I want it. And I went, you know, that's not why I love hunting. Like I would have loved to have come home with a Forky or something, but I passed on all these deer because I had this one and I felt guilty after that season. I didn't like that feeling at all. So I think I'm back to like whacking spoon and crock pot animals.
I feel like you could feel guilty about a lot of other things.
Oh,
like this is what you're on.
Go easy. No,
the
margarita's
mostly gone.
Yeah. No, but I just didn't like that feeling. And you know, you've always been so instrumental in helping. You were never squeamish. We have friends that we know where the wife is like weird about picking up chickens or whatever, you know, like you were never squeamish about any of that stuff. I'd bring home like quarters and backstrap and everything, and it was like, perfect. Clear out the kitchen. We're laying tarps down. We're setting all these big cutting boards out. Like, we're going to process this. This is food. And you were never squeamish about any of that. And I think that's absolutely amazing. So when I don't come home with meat, I do feel like a sense of guilt. And especially in a contrived situation like that, it was like, oh man, what am I doing?
Why well, did I do get this? Your moose this year.
Okay, yes. Yeah. But no, so I mean, you were always around it. It was always available. I asked you every year, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. You always said, do you want me to put in for tags for you? And I think, you know, it was like, gosh, no. How the heck would I even do that? Like, I don't want to draw something and have to turn it in, so.
But we kept your bonus points going.
Yeah, I believe so. Yes. We won't talk about my bonus points, will we?
Yeah, we will. We will get to that. We have got to take a quick break, so do not go anywhere. Thank you to Battle Born Tree Service, Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, and Truck Envy for sponsoring the show. We will be back after the break. The station is 99.1 or 92.3 FM Talk, and the show is Nevada Backcountry. Special, I'll give you a third, special guest. I've never handed out a third, just FYI.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah, so I'm... special guest in studio is my wife, Cynthia Evans, recipient of a 2026 California Bighorn Sheep Tag in the state of Nevada, and that's where I want to start. We've talked about some of the struggles early in marriage with my addiction. I always say that I've never felt the need to sell my body on Second Street to support it, so it's not an actual addiction. When you frame things a certain way, like I quit my job to go chase elk in Montana, I do realize that I might have a problem with it. We've covered that, early stages of marriage, your hunting experience thus far, and then here you sit today with a sheep tag in your pocket.
It's not in my pocket, it's on the fridge.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot. We were going theater of the mind there, and you had to ruin it. So, you drew a California, not just a sheep tag, but a California Bighorn sheep tag. Did you know what you had put in for?
These are hard-hitting questions, yeah. I feel like.
Journalism at its finest.
I knew I had put in for a few things, and then, as you call them, the bougie tags.
I don't call them that.
You absolutely call them that. Gucci. I have it on Gucci. There we go. There. Sorry. the Gucci tags. And yeah, I knew a sheep tag was a Gucci tag.
Oh, absolutely.
Because everything that, like the horn shorter antelope rifle tag, that was at the top of my account.
Right.
And it wasn't until I scrolled down and I was like, there were some expletives. Yep. And I was like, I think this is like one of those Gucci tags.
Yeah. Do you remember our phone conversation that day?
I do remember it because I went for the drama.
Yeah, I was hot. I said, hey, I didn't draw anything. How'd you guys do? She says, and by you guys, I mean you and Madeline. And you said, I think I drew something good. Oh, no. We weren't talking. It wasn't a phone. It was text.
I said, I think I drew some. No, we were talking on the phone because then I texted the tag to you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You strung me along for a good bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. I built up that drama. I happen to teach drama homeschool classes on the side.
So you strung me along.
Yep. I said, you knew I think it was good. I knew it was good. I mean, I've been around the block. The hunting block.
We better add some caveats on that one.
and I knew no matter what, a sheep tag is good.
Oh, absolutely.
Even a desert is a awesome, cool tag.
Potentially once in a lifetime experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I've heard all these guys, especially on like the Guzzler builds, talk about That's what never drawn before after putting in, you know, for 30 years and whatever. I knew it was good and I knew it said RAM.
Yep.
And I knew that was good, but it said the word management and I was like, I don't know if that's as good, but I still think this is awesome. And so I did kind of string you along because I had the time. and then I screenshotted it and I sent it to you while we were talking on the phone. And I think you just started like hooping and hollering.
Yep.
And which unfortunately in front of someone else who hadn't drawn a tag. So
yeah,
that was kind of rude.
Don't care. Do not care.
Yeah. And so, and then you were just like going on and on about it. And I was like, heck yeah, this is going to be cool.
I've been around the hunting community for a long time. I've been involved in it. Like I always make the joke to people, I don't really have a personality outside of work and hunting. That's my community. Here's what, and I'll say this without getting weird or emotional about it, but the amount of support you've gotten from friends of mine already that have stepped up and said, absolutely, we'll be there, or absolutely here, we'll rip out there, we'll see what we turn up. I mean, it's just been absolutely incredible thus far. And that's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, you know, when people support you, it's one thing, but when people step up for your wife, it's like, oh man, what good people. We've had people go out and scout for us. We went out and scouted, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm getting ahead of myself, putting the cart before the horse, as they say. So you're excited. You got a sheep tag. When did the anxiety set in? Or not anxiety, but like you said, you were nervous about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always look to our neighbor, Mr. Clell Nelson,
who should also
come on this show. And I know when you told him about the tag and he was like, oh, I think he said something like, that's a hell of a hunt.
Yep.
And I just was kind of like, oh my gosh, I better not screw this opportunity up. And all these people, and honestly, like it's hunting. If at the end of the day, I don't get fill a ram, I don't fill a tag. The best part is going to be what you just said. All the people who have just been like, this is so amazing. How can we help you?
Yeah.
What can we do? People, some of them I don't even know. I've never even met before.
Yeah.
Like they may know me by name, but that's it. And I've heard their name once or twice. But I mean, you're literally like, we go places and people, God, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
We're so happy for you. And there's no weird jealousy. There's everyone is just 100% like, that is amazing. And now we can talk about my bonus points too, because that's because I think what did Rocky say? He said, I could just kick you in the getting that tag with
seven. You had 7 points.
Seven points. It was just honestly just super lucky. And I'm kind of overwhelmed by the support and the people who, I mean, everyone we talk to, even people who can't help in any way, are just happy for me.
Yeah. No sour grapes. And shout out. So I think everybody knows him as Rocky, but shout out to Steve Hall from NBU, who we've known for a while.
Yeah.
We've known him for a while. We were members at a fly fishing place with him, and he's the guzzler coordinator for NBU.
He knows all our kids.
Oh, he knows all of our kids. Yeah. Knows us. And yeah, when we were at that guzzler build, what did he say at the end of that whole thing?
He said, if you need help,
100%.
Give me a call.
Yeah.
He and another buddy out there. And I'm going, you would really drive hours outside of town.
Absolutely.
Just to help me. Yeah. And I believe it.
And I like that you get to see the parts of hunting that maybe I am not good at articulating at home. You know, I always make the joke like, this is where I go to church. The community involved in it, where I'll give you a perfect example. I remember texting a friend of mine after I killed a deer. And the text I got back was, hey, brother, where are you at? I will head that way if you need help on the pack out.
That's awesome.
middle of the night. And it's like, that's the community that you get involved in. And that's what I'm happy for you to see on this hunt is like, man, you've got a great tag. And there are all these people already coming out. We've had a couple guys go out and check out the unit for us. Everybody, Cleldon Nelson, who won't come on the show, but should. Clell has said, perfect. Blocked out that entire first week of the hunt to come out and help you. Just absolutely incredible. So you go from a little bit of like, okay, I don't want to let everybody down. I have this really good tag. What do I do from this? That's where I want to go on the final segment. My favorite segment of the show, because we get to try to succinctly wrap up everything, which Dave and I never do. You're a lot smarter than both of us. So hopefully you can keep me on track. And remember, if you miss a segment of the show, you can always go to 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab. All past episodes are available there. And if you're an Apple user, we are available on Apple Podcasts. Do not go anywhere. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry is coming up after the break. Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. This is the final segment. You know, man, here's one of the drawbacks. You have your wife on the show. My special guest is my wife, Cynthia Evans. And you kind of get off on these little like sidebar things. And, you know too much about somebody when you've been married for 15 years. So we ate up a lot of time. Let's wrap this up as succinctly as possible. You're excited. You've got a sheep tag. Let's talk about preparation for the hunt. Thus far, how have you felt about that and what have you done?
We have been out shooting at the range a lot. We have gone on a scouting trip, which was really cool because we saw a bunch of sheep. And Henry was awesome because he was like, do you want to do a practice stalk?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And of course. Absolutely. So we got like a practice stalk in, which was really cool to kind of creep up on them and see what they do when they notice us and what not to do and everything.
On a ram too.
There was a ram in there for sure. It was awesome. And there was a little young one that was on us.
Yeah, whatever.
They didn't listen to her. And so that was really cool. And then lots of rucking in our neighborhood up Zalesi. So if you see like two weirdos, one of them has a fro, it's not me, rucking up Zalesi. That's us getting ready for my sheep hunt.
And I'm the white Lionel Richie.
And, you know, just working out and we do jiu-jitsu, just trying to physically be in the best shape possible for the hunt.
During the scouting, and I want to circle back to the shooting in a minute. During that scouting, that weekend out there and everything, did you, was it eye-opening a little bit? Did you feel that kind of like, oh, I'm under the gun now? Like you realize the country you have to cover on foot to get in position.
Absolutely. I realized the country, but we saw sheep.
Yeah.
And so I also had that like, oh my gosh, they're here. Like they're out here. Yeah. We're going to find them. I got to get it done from that point, you know? So
I just know,
I think the pressure was, I always thought like, oh gosh, finding them, but we found them. I mean, within
we found half an hour, we found some.
And so for me, it was realizing they're going to be there. I have to be ready in every capacity possible.
To make it happen. And I asked that question because you said to me when we, after we got done with that practice stalk and you said basically, I'll paraphrase, but like, okay, no more effing around. Like, I want to be in as good a cardio shape as humanly possible before this hunt, because I think, and maybe I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you realized how steep, you know, it's one thing to glass it. It's another to walk it.
Oh, absolutely. Like, oh, and man. I hate cardio.
Yeah, it's not your thing.
No, no, I'm not built to run. But you don't have to run, people. You just walk. Set a pace and go.
Yeah. So yeah, we've been rucking. We, like you said, we do a lot of physical stuff. Now shooting. How do you feel about shooting at this point?
I feel good at the range.
Yeah.
I think I could feel better in realistic scenarios.
Yeah, like on that practice stock when we got up there, I said, okay, hey, perfect. You're going to, you would lay the gun across these rocks and here's how, da 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 da.
Yeah, and I'm like, where's my squeeze bag?
Yeah. Where's my bench?
Hold on a minute. And so I think I told you after that, like, I need to go shoot in realistic scenarios, get out with Jim.
Yes.
Hats off to him. And, you know,
Jim Irwin at Shooting Performance Institute. Yeah,
I knew you'd get in there correctly.
Yep.
And do that because when we got out there and you said, okay, this is the shot you would need to take. I kind of went, okay, the yardage I think I could do, but there's a whole lot else going on right now.
Yeah.
I'm on uneven ground. Like there's rocks fallen and you're like shushing me as rocks are falling by me. Like, no, you know,
what are you doing?
So, yeah. Why are you so loud? Well, that's why I've never been on the show too. Yeah. So just all that, all the things that go into making the shot kind of dawned on me and I went, oh, I still have work to do.
Yeah.
I'm willing to do the work, but absolutely.
Gotta get out and do
There's
it.
Work to do.
And I've tried to introduce you to a few things at the range as far as like I've had you shooting in sitting, kneeling positions. I always call it like it's not the sexy stuff. Everybody likes to sit at the bench and they get their little clover leaf at 100 yards and they're like, man, this I'm going to kill. That's not hunting. So unfortunately for you, you married me and I've made you shoot off a tripod, I made you shoot off, or sitting, kneeling, all these different positions and stuff. So I think you're a hell of a good shot. I agree with you. Unfortunately, this time of year, where it seems like every weekend is a red flag morning, you want to make sure your cardio's good, your shooting's good. Do you know what you're shooting?
A sheep.
Yeah, for a gun.
Equipment-wise. I'm going to shoot a sheep. A 6.5 Creedmoor.
Bingo. What else?
It's nice looking.
What else?
I'm just, that's my gun.
That's your, okay, yeah. Okay.
What else am I shooting?
Yeah. So we talked before the show and what did you tell me? Something like you don't want to come across as spoiled?
No, but I am. And I am in a unique position where I get to go out and you have taken care of a lot of things for me.
Like that's
you,
fair.
Yeah, yeah. You have the ammo ready. You have the gun ready. The gun was cleaned. And I just get to go shoot. And
that's
I think
the important
that,
stuff. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Absolutely. But not everybody is in that position. And I think if you're getting into shooting or you're getting into hunting, those could be some of the hurdles you have to overcome.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And so I don't have those hurdles in a lot of ways. And so it's hard for me and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to come off as like a spoiled wife, but I am spoiled because I get to go out there and I can just focus on shooting. And granted, we're at the point now where, you know, you tell me like, this is your gun. Like you're doing it all. And I load it and everything.
Oh, you do everything.
Yeah, I do everything now, but I have you right there where if there's an issue.
So you're shooting.
I'm shooting a 6.5 Creedmoor.
6.5 Creedmoor, Seekins Havoc Element in 6.5 Creedmoor, the new guy, and then a Night Force SHV, I think it is, an SHV 3-10 scope.
It's a great setup.
It's awesome. A great setup, yeah.
It doesn't kick at all.
No, nope, like, got a muzzle brake
so
on
cool.
there.
Yeah. It shoots awesome. Our daughter shoots it too. And unfortunately, she's like an amazing shot. So then she doesn't really want to shoot anymore because she just nails it.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm good.
She is the person I alluded to when I made that joke. Yeah. She'll sit there and she'll stack 3 rounds on top of each other at 100. And then she goes, I'm good. I don't need to shoot anymore.
Yeah.
But
and I'm like, come on.
Well, yeah. And we haven't put her like in the sitting or kneeling or anything. So she's got some work too. But That's what you're shooting. Now, recoil-wise and everything, because you didn't grow up shooting guns, totally manageable?
Oh, totally manageable. And I think I've just had good training from my good partner on, you know, how to shoot a gun. Even, I mean, I shoot a 12-gauge normally when we go chucker hunting.
Yeah.
And I don't have any issue with recoil or anything. Like, I know how to shoot and manage recoil.
And I think there's something to be said, too, for... Now, granted, the Seekins is a super light recoiling gun. However, I remember getting handed, I think it was a 270 Winchester. And it's just like, when that's all you know, you don't think, like, recoil is a big thing. You're just like, I don't know, man. The gun goes bang, and it... You know, people make too big of an issue out of recoil nowadays, I think. But you're a phenomenal shot. Madeline's a phenomenal shot. Thank you for doing the show with me. But parting words of advice from Cynthia Evans, beekeeper, huntress, soon to be huntress. Homeschooler extraordinaire. What would you like to leave people with?
Oh, there's a lot of pressure there. Yep. I don't know. If you're just getting into hunting, lean in to the people who are willing to help you. Listen to them, you know, kind of zone in on the people that you really want help from and stop asking everybody else.
Yeah. Hunting is one of those things where everybody who's done it once is suddenly an expert. There's a lot of advice, especially from women.
Yes.
A lot of advice that gets tossed around.
I've seen that in archery. Yeah. I've seen that in jiu-jitsu. Like, everybody loves to give a female advice. And I mean, 99% of the time, I think it's awesome. But if you have a tag, you really need one or two people and listen to them.
Yeah.
And somebody else may have better advice. But if you keep going off on these side quests of, I'm going to try this. Yeah. Just focus. I'm very fortunate in that I have to focus because he lives with me. And yeah, just find your people and they'll be your community and listen to them and be willing to learn and be willing to suck sometimes, as I often have in this process so far. No, where you're just, you have no idea, and just be willing to listen.
Cynthia, thank you for doing this with me. Do not go anywhere. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk is coming up next.